So reading from Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And chapter 4, verse 1 says that Jesus was then led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." You know, I said earlier in my whole life had all been about performance, working to please people, working to get approval. And when I became a believer, I just did the same thing. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't even a conscious thing. Just performing for God to get his approval, performing to get the church's approval, trying to be a great Christian. And that has been changing dramatically over the last 13 years. Just learning to rest in that love, learning to set aside the striving and the performance that tries to earn its way. And I guess my experience of hearing him call me son is similar to what perhaps Jesus experienced at his baptism. You know, Jesus hears the Father speak. And I've come to believe that we need to hear the Father speak to us. And I don't mean with audible words, or sometimes it's pictures he speaks to us in, sometimes it's with music, sometimes it's just a settlement and a peace in our hearts. But we need to hear that for ourselves. You can hear all of the teaching, but unless you hear him behind it all, unless you hear him bringing that to you, all you have is teaching. And I think at the very start, Jesus' Father is reassuring him about who he is. I really don't think it's for the public that the Father spoke, because some people thought it was thunder. And as he's entering this new phase of his life, it's just like his father saying, "You are my son." You know, he knew that when he was 12 years old. He said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But here again, the father is just saying, "You are my son. And I love you." And that's the wonderful thing that I've discovered. I think previously my Christian life was living for a series of experiences. You know, and I could say back in 1987, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit's activity in my life or fellowship with him on an ongoing basis. And so the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit was a memory that I held to and spoke about. But the wonderful thing about this revelation is it's an ongoing relationship where he's continually speaking about my sonship. He's continually speaking about his love to me, or love for me. And I've actually discovered, chemically and biologically, it's your father that determines which gender you will be. So there's a sense where it's fathers who give you your identity. Just exactly what Father is doing with Jesus here. That's what he did with me back in 2005. It's what he's doing in these days when he calls me son. He very seldom calls me John. It's usually just, "Hey, son." If he calls me John, I know I'm getting a row. And it's often fathers who are the ones who affirm and build up in a way that mothers aren't able to do. Mothers are more about comfort and security. Fathers are about identity and adventure. They're the ones who affirm you, who make you feel like you matter, that you could beat the world. What are the words that you use to describe yourself? Not just on a good day, but what about your bad days? You know, do you wander around thinking, "Oh, John, you idiot"? Well, you probably do think, "John, you idiot," but insert your name in there. You know, do you wander around thinking, "Oh, you idiot, how could you have done that stupid thing? You're always so stupid, you're never... Is that your image of yourself? Is that what you say over yourself? Because that's not what the Father says. The Father says, "You're my son, you're my daughter. You're his child." And he wants you to know that where you belong is with him, in his embrace, at his bosom, at the place Jesus has prepared for us. You know, Jesus said, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And that's the truth. We are God's sons and daughters, and we belong permanently to his family. We may not always be living in that family, but we belong to it. That's the reality of sonship. That's the reality of the identity that he gives us. And he wants to speak. He wants you to hear him speaking that over you. Son, daughter, whom I love. And I guess my concept of love was always a passive thing. But love is active. It's not passive. No, it's not that God is putting up with you and tolerating you in your childish stupidity or simple foolishness or whatever. That's not it. Love is active. Love involves action. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a sentiment. And he walks through life pouring out his affection upon you. And with that affection comes guidance and provision and wisdom and advice and all kinds of stuff. Constantly assuring us, constantly building us up. That was Jesus' experience. That's why the disciples wanted to know how to pray, because they saw what he was like walking with Father. They saw the confidence and the assurance it gave him. They saw the wisdom that he got from that relationship. They saw all of those things. You know, love looks like something. It's not an abstract ideal, but it's a reality with substance to it. You know, what does love look like to you? To me, it was passive. What does love look like to you? What does love look like for you in your life? Love will always look like something. Love will always leave an impression. That love will always leave you feeling good about yourself. Even when you don't look your best. Whether that's a human love or whether it's divine love. Love will always make you feel better about yourself. And I love the fact he says, in you I'm pleased. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He had preached no sermons, no miracles. He's not done anything to please his Father, to elicit this pleasure from him. It's just something that is in the heart of God towards his Son. Jesus wasn't performing to gain his approval or his affirmation. It was just something that the Father was giving to him. I love you. You're my Son. And I just take such delight in you. And I guess my whole life, despite the fact that I'd closed my heart to my dad, my whole life was a performance trying to get my dad, if you like, to notice me, to pay me some attention and give me some praise. And I think so many of us have lived like that, even in church, performing in order to get someone to just notice me, pay me some attention and say, you're a good guy. You're a great girl. You know, the desire in our hearts for love and affection and affirmation and attention. And what happens is when his love comes in that way, it begins to satisfy those desires of our hearts. The desires for that love and affection, for the affirmation and the attention. He gives us that. That's my story. That's the story of the guys that have been in the team this week. And I know it's the story of some of you even here. That the Father's affection for you has been satisfying some of the desires of your heart. You see, he doesn't need your performance because he is already pleased with you. It's not that you have to become his child. You are his child. And what he wants to do is bring us into a place of sonship where we step into inheritance. One of the things that we learn from Jack Winter is that the love of God can be imparted. That this love can begin to give us what we've never received in our lives. And we've talked about an open heart being a key to that. You know, not hardening our hearts when love is presented to us like I used to do. And if I'm honest, I can sometimes still be tempted to do when something looks a little bit too sweet and too nice. West of Scotland doesn't do sweet and nice. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you withdraw from it and think, oh, for goodness sake, grow up. And then I catch myself thinking, oh, John, you're hardening your heart. What are you doing? You're stopping love from touching you. You're stopping kindness and tenderness from affecting your heart. Because it's not very West of Scotland man to embrace that. The preparation of our hearts can take a long time. You know, I've shared some of my journey and some of my story over the years that it's taken me to get to here where I am now. And I've not made it. I think that's the thing I've realised over these years. You never make it to some sort of pinnacle or height. Because relationships are ever evolving. You know, I've known my wife now for 33 years, and our relationship is continually evolving. And I'm discovering it's the same with the Father. It's not a static thing. It's not something where you reach nirvana. Nirvana is when Jesus comes back. But until then, we're walking in an ever-evolving relationship of love. We're actually just caught up in a love relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. You know, the Father loved his Son so much that he wanted to give him a bride. And the Son loved the Father so much that he wanted him to have his children back home. And so we're caught up in this beautiful love exchange between the Godhead. Where we're his kids, we're his bride. We're his joy, we're his pleasure. We're his delight. And as Jack would put his arms around people and say, you know, Father, I pray these arms of mine be become your arms. He saw that there was something of an impartation taking place. And, you know, I've been impacted by that embrace, and so have other people here. Because in that embrace, there is an incarnational reality. That just means that the presence and substance of the love of God is manifested through the physical presence of a human being. It's not that they possess that love. It's not that they even give that love to you. But that love is present in that embrace. It's a prophetic thing. You know when Elisha says to Joash, you know, fire the arrows out the window. And then when they land, he says, take the arrows and strike the ground. And Joash does it 3 times, and Elisha gets angry. He says, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. And I've always wondered about that. But I think what happened was, Joash was a little bit embarrassed. He's the king. And he kind of just gingerly tapped the ground. When what Elisha wanted them to do was to beat the ground with those arrows as a symbol of destruction of the Syrians. And instead he says, because you only did that 3 times, you will only have 3 victories instead of wiping them out. He scorned the prophetic symbolism of what Elisha was asking him to do. And sometimes we can look at something as childish as an embrace and scorn it and not realise the prophetic symbolism that's involved in it. Because sometimes it can seem childishness or silliness. What difference is someone putting their arms around me going to make? But there is something prophetic in this embrace, as well as incarnational. And I think there's something sacramental in it. As in with baptism, as with the Lord's Supper, marriage, there's an impartation of grace in many of these things. You know, when I was at Bible school, we were taught that baptism was a symbol of what the Lord has done. I don't believe it's just merely a symbol. I believe there's something real and substantial that happens when you go under the water. I remember my baptism. I remember going under the water in the sea at Largs. Was it Largs or Trim? I can't remember. And it felt as though I was under there forever. It must have been a few seconds. And I was just like, I can't describe it. But I entered into something in my heart, in my spirit. It wasn't just symbolic for me. There was a reality in that baptism where I was translated in almost into another kingdom, if you like. Because something of God was imparted to me by faith as I went under the water. There is a substantial reality in the sacraments, and we believe this is sacramental. It's not a human hug. Hugs are what I give people when I'm glad to see them or I'm saying goodbye. It's not a cuddle. Cuddles are what I give to kids like Evie or my wife on the sofa. It's an embrace where we believe that our arms become the arms of the Father around the person who comes. And we're not doing anything to you. We're not giving anything to you because we don't have anything to give you. Just our arms. But realizing it's, we're coming to the Lord to receive from Him. Just that it's the same as someone laying hands on you, whether it's to receive the Holy Spirit or impart something else. It's the, just the exact same thing. Instead of putting hands on you, we put our arms around you. How long does it take? How big is God? I don't think it takes very long at all. I think when someone put their arms around me, it was perhaps a minute or less. The Father just wants to hold us in His arms. He wants us to come as little boys and girls who need to be loved. I want to show you a video. Now, we talked about weakness earlier in the week. I want to show you a video of someone who needs their Father. It's not just that they want their Father, but they need Him. You might need a tissue. Some of you may have seen some of this.
says that you're his precious child, and there's no one else like you. He says that you are his fault. Do you know that you make him smile? Do you know you're his heart's delight? Do you know that you're amazing?
So, can you come in your weakness and your inability and just be a little boy or a little girl who needs to be loved and let your dad carry you? Let him take you through the struggles and the things that you face. Let him affirm you in your dreams and your desires and your passions. Let him tell you who you are. Not the world, not the church, not me. Let him tell you. You're my son, you're my daughter, whom I love, and you I am well pleased. And we're going to just gather the team here at the front, just spread along the front here. And you can come to whichever one of us you want to come to. If you're not comfortable being embraced like that, just say so. We'll just hold your hand or put a hand in your shoulder if that's what you prefer. That's not a problem. And you just come to whichever member of the team you feel comfortable coming to. And we're just going to pray, Father, let these arms of mine be your arms around this little one. And we'll see what he does.